From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitine.
Yo, happy Fresh Fridays. All I can think about right now, maybe seventh grade sock ops. You know what I mean? Like, you know, this song comes on and nobody's dancing yet, Ursula, and everybody's kind of standing, watching in the middle. And then finally one person gets out there. Now, by the way, I was courageous in talking. I was not courageous in being the first one on the dance floor.
I wasn't either.
Yeah, that's a different kind of courage, if you will.
Even today, to this day, as much as I like dancing, I don't want to be the first one out on the dance floor.
Now, for anybody that is the first, yeah, I got respect for you. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning. It is a fresh Friday. It is May 3rd. You heard the forecast. We're going to have sunshine. It's going to be close to 70 degrees. It is going to be perfect today.
Come on.
And we have a very full show for you. As always, we invite you, though, to join us on our Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line, 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO. I'll give you a hint. Coming up at 9:30, the last time we talked about this, for some reason, G had to leave the studio. So we're going to try again. We are going to try again because this is a topic that is very important, not just to women, but for men as well. So you'll want to stick around for that.
Can you also tell people about our 10 o'clock guests? Explain to them, Michael Medved is on the road. So, literally in the air. So he can't be in here, but joining us in studio will be Dr. Jason Johnson from MSNBC. He's going to join us live. We'll be talking to him. So that's going to be at 10 o'clock. But right now, Ursula, let's get to it. Top stories of the day brought to you by Wayscar 40, Zuzu in Auburn.
Remember all the talk about getting speed enforcement cameras installed in problem areas like Seattle's Alki Beach? Well, it turns out there's still no timeline for when they're going to be up and running, even though they were approved by the city council last year. And that is very frustrating to folks who live near Alki Beach, including Patrick Rowe, who tells Como 4 News he still sees street racing outside his home on Alki.
I understand people want to have fun and enjoy the view and stuff, but families would like to, too. You can't bring kids down here when that stuff's going on.
Rowe shared numerous videos of street racing, bikers doing wheelies at high speeds, cars blaring music while going too fast. He and his neighbors have tried engaging Seattle Transportation Department officials to no effect.
We've been to the meetings with them before, and they just look at each other and pass the buck and say, talk to him.
Now, Seattle City Councilmember Rob Saka represents West Seattle. He wasn't on the council when the ordinance was passed, but he thinks it is time to get those cameras installed.
I don't support broad, wide-scale deployment citywide of those enforcement technologies across the city, but in certain situations where it's backed by evidence, data, and strong community support, it does make a lot of sense. In Alki, I can think of no clearer example right now.
But, gee, critics of those speed cameras, including Councilmember Tammy Morales, say that they disproportionately target people with low incomes.
Stop it! I'm so... Hey, listen. We do have a problem. There's a lot of people right now that are struggling financially. No doubt about that. You guys know we talk about this on the show. But what I... What kind of bothers me a little bit is every time it is used, it's almost like it's a yeah, but, right? Yeah, but we have to understand that those that are disproportionately in the equity. Listen. This is simple. We have a problem with drivers just losing their minds. They don't drive like they used to in 1994. This is 2024. This is 30 years later, Ursula. People, for some reason, they don't understand niceness. Like, can't just chill. You know why things go away? You know why curfews happen? Because people don't respect other people's space. They don't respect other people's neighborhoods.
They don't care about their safety.
So you have to put the cameras. You want to know why the cameras go there? Because they work. Because people, their behavior, I ask this question all the time. You made me get up this morning, Ursula. I ask it all the time. When there is a camera that you know, your behavior will say as such.
And here's my question, I guess, for the critics. If you're worried about people with low incomes being targeted, okay, I'm not sure how they would be targeted, but I think it would hit them differently because, yeah, they have less money to spend on tickets. How about making sure that your community, if you're worried about them, that they're aware of the consequences of doing the wrong thing? This is a quote from Tammy Morales back in 2023. She said, "My community wants to know, where is the equity analysis? Will tickets be issued on a sliding scale? Why do we need more surveillance?" I mean, these neighbors are telling you why they need it.
You know,
wasn't there a young woman who was driving on Alki and she ended up in the water? And I think that she has permanent injuries because of someone who was speeding.
Right.
And racing on there. Mm-hmm.
You know, one last point. Sometimes, Ursula, I think that people believe that those that have low income don't want a safe neighborhood. Why don't you go and you ask some of the people with low income in either neighborhood if they would like those cameras there too? I guarantee you, they're like, "Hey, I want safety. I want you guys to drive like you do over in Clyde Hill. I want you guys to drive over here the way that you do in Medina, the way that you do in all of these other neighborhoods. I want that here." So if cameras is going to make you guys do the right thing, yes, bring it here.
You guys know what the equity review is, by the way. It is just the latest step in the Seattle process. It used to be 10, 15 years ago. You could throw up your hand and say, "Has the environmental review been done yet?" Now that's a part of the process. Now we throw up our hands and say, "Has the equity review?" And it slows everything down.
Exactly. So four teens arrested for an alleged carjacking last Friday are now also suspected of stealing more than $100,000 worth of designer clothing from a fashion boutique in Bellevue. These teens were wearing all black outfits, including ski masks that covered their faces, when they burst into that store shortly before 7 last Friday night. And within a minute, the store manager says they had stolen nearly 30 handbags and purses from the Bottega Veneta. Mark Johnson with the Washington Retail Association tells King 5 News this kind of theft is actually a problem that affects all of us.
Retail theft is not a victimless crime. The costs of those goods that are absorbed by the retailer and society, it just increases the prices of goods for law-abiding purchasers.
And you know who he says is part of the problem?
Who?
Those would be online shoppers. Thieves know that people are much too happy to snap up stolen goods online if they're really cheap.
And as a consumer, it's very tempting when you see something that's a fifth, a sixth of what it would normally cost in the store.
So let's start the conversation there. Is it ethical to buy something online knowing that the price is too good to be true and you don't have proof? But you think, okay, there's a good chance this could be stolen.
Most people, when they go online to shop, don't look at the item and says, "Oh my goodness, oh, look at the price. This is one-fifth. You know, I bet this has come from stolen. This is probably stolen. Let me go ahead and purchase it." You want to know how I know that? Because we've been doing this show for 4.5 years, and not one of us has brought an item and said, "Hey, look at this." Do I think that sometimes it's a fact that sometimes Amazon has had stolen products on there, or this baby formula or detergent or whatever? No doubt about it. But I'm saying that for this person to blame online shoppers, that's a little tone deaf, Ursula. It's not.
I don't think so.
Okay, tell me why.
Because we all do look for, I'll speak for myself. I've never bought anything that I thought was stolen. But, you know, today I was just telling you how much I enjoy free things and I enjoy things that are a discount.
Uh-huh.
I enjoy that feeling of getting something for a bargain. Now, when I have bought things on Craigslist, it's generally like furniture. I've never bought jewelry or purses or anything like that. But many, many people do, whether it's Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist, wherever it is, mm-hmm. you're buying things or Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people have been caught stealing and then turning it around and selling it on Amazon. And that has become a problem, too. So because people haven't come in and said, hey, you know, look at this. I think a lot of people are turning a blind eye, and it's just like, hey, I love the fact that I'm getting this for really cheap.
Is it fair to say that I buy a lot online? I do.
Yes.
Almost every day.
Yeah, but you're not buying it for big discounts.
No, and a lot of times it's reputable items.
If
it's an item, most people, but if there's an item that you have a question with, like, I've never seen this item before, there's this thing called reviews. And they'll have X amount. Now, I know somebody's like, well, what about the fake reviews? Okay. But you can see the stars. You can see if it's a 4.7. Or I have mine set up to where I don't get anything under 4.0.
I know. But we're not talking about that. I mean, there's other places where you can buy this stuff. Like I just said, Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace where...
I think those places are sketchy.
I know.
Yeah.
So that's what he's talking about. Because
I don't disagree with that.
Yes, because some people are just driven by the fact that, hey, I can buy it. So you would say it is unethical.
That offer up and all those places, I think that's dangerous.
It's not just the purses, man. What do you think that the power tool that's worth $1,000 that somebody's selling for $150 online, like, no, their grandpa did not just pass away.
Exactly.
Right, and they had to clear out the garage. That
so
came out of somebody's
questions?
Truck.
Are you asking questions? For example, when
Most people aren't.
Exactly.
Because it's a great deal, right?
No.
Dude looked a little sketchy, but a deal.
Hey, Ursula, I want to tell you, that angle,
yes,
you're right.
Yeah.
That angle, you're right.
That's what makes it very attractive for these thieves. Okay, let's talk about these particular suspected thieves.
Okay.
Because after the burglary, Bellevue police say these teens carjacked a woman driving a black BMW. They stole a bunch of stuff from her, threw a lot of it into the other car that they abandoned. Then they drove south on I-5, where they were spotted by a Thurston County deputy. When the deputy tried to pull them over, they sped off. And since possession of a stolen vehicle isn't a pursuable offense, the chase ended, or at least that's what the Thurston County deputy said.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, State Patrol troopers did catch up with these teens near Vancouver. They arrested the suspects. Get this. They are 14, 15, 16, and 17 years old.
Yeah, I'm tired.
I just described multiple carjackings, bursting into a store, stealing a bunch of stuff. They're facing charges of robbery, possession of a stolen vehicle, and shoplifting. My question, what should happen to these quote-unquote kids? I mean, they're kids, but they did adult-sized crimes.
Yeah. You know where I'm at on this. I'm tired of these little kids going out here and thinking, oh, it's not going to be that big of a deal. And if I do, I get a little juvenile record on me, and then it's going to be done at 18 years old. Mm-mm. You 15 years old, you want to go carjack? You want to go steal cars? Mm-hmm. Like, why don't you come sit down for about 5 to 7 years, right? No, for real. We can't. Look.
So they shouldn't just be in group homes with either locked or unlocked doors?
I'll ask this. If you're listening to the G and Ursula show.
Yes.
For every time that Ursula says, teen and stolen car. And if you had to take a little sip out of something in your cabinet, you wouldn't do well.
Mm-mm.
Right? Because it is a common thing. So,
and I'm just hitting a fraction of what
so is
going
are
on.
We is this going to continue? Is it going to continue to get worse? Because now what we're here, we're not hearing teens and stolen cars anymore. We're now hearing teens carjack. Like, aren't we tired of hearing that?
And again, this is where I say, yeah, kids should have a chance to rehab, but kids who are accused of doing crimes like this, I'm sorry, you need to do some time.
But we also need, on the other side of things, too, even though I am saying we need to be and give them more punishment, no doubt, I'm for that, but we also need to give the same energy into providing opportunities for these young kids because it's expensive for a lot of these parents to afford things for them to do.
Yes.
Both can be true.
Exactly. Try to reach them before they get to this point. But once they get to this point, I'm sorry.
For sure. I'm with you.
Okay, speaking of kids, a party planned for tonight at a park in Bellevue might be a bust before it even gets going because Bellevue police say they are also going to be at the city's downtown park where a so-called Spotey was going to be held.
Oh, shoot.
It was advertised online as a party that includes boxing, like a boxing match,
mm-hmm.
and music. On social media, Bellevue PD is letting everyone know that their officers are going to be there. And as a friendly reminder, no alcohol or drugs are allowed at city parks. I just got to do a shout out to Bellevue PD because I'm really enjoying their social media. And I am, you know, they made it clear that they were not going to be okay with shoplifting. Remember when that was announced and they're like, hey, yeah, we're going to go after them.
Mm-hmm.
And they have.
Sure have. What's the first rule of Fight Club?
You're not supposed to talk about it.
Ah!
Right? You're supposed to keep quiet.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying you should do that. But.
Apparently the word's out. I actually texted because I remember that my sons used to reference Spodies when they were in high school.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that. I don't think they all include Fight Clubs because I had to look it up. And so basically they are alcohol-fueled gatherings in public areas, mm-hmm. most commonly parks.
Yeah.
Generally, they have a keg or a concoction of alcohol and fruity juice, a drink known as Spodie or jungle juice.
Can we just... All right, everybody. Look, I know...
You learned something new today. Just admit it.
I'm asking...
So I was like, what's a Spodie?
I'm asking all my...
Some of us did.
I'm asking all my seniors out here, all my seasoned veterans. You guys remember a Friday night... And that Spodie was going to be at the party. Now, if you, maybe you're perfect. Maybe you're never there.
I got a response from one of my sons.
What'd they say?
I have 3 laughing emojis.
You think your son ever been to a party with a Spodie?
I know for a fact that they had been.
Chef,
I only knew after the fact.
Chef, have you been in any parties with a Spodie?
Spodie Odie Dopealicious. Yes, sir.
Nora's here today. Nora, have you?
Not with a Spodie.
Oh, there you
not
go.
Yet.
See,
not yet.
This is why.
In California, though.
Spodie's everywhere. It's universal, baby.
Well, then, yeah.
It's universal. Nick, how about you?
Oh, yeah, a couple of times. It's good stuff. Get the mango in there, a little pineapple, let it soak for a couple hours.
Now, the first Spodie that wink, wink, that I could have been a part of had something in it that I cannot
agree with you.
No, that it should
like Taco Bell.
You can't get it anymore. Everclear.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's aggressive.
Yeah, it was aggressive, bro. Yeah. Not cool. Not cool.
I mentioned Taco Bell. As much as I love Taco Bell, I know you've said a few times, it's like, oh, as much as you love it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I can't. I don't agree. 360 says, Spodie, 1979. Could you imagine Ursula going to a party on a Friday night in 1979?
Why not?
It would be incredible.
Yeah.
It would be incredible. It would be no fights, all peace and love. All right. What? For real? Not for real. Coming up at 9:30. I don't have a show sheet. I have something else.
Well, coming up at 9:30, we're going to talk about something that is important, not just to women, but it should be important to men.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's
well.
For sure. Yeah.
And a certain actress shouted out that she is going through it right now.
Okay. All right. Let's do it. We'll do that next. Gene Ursula.
Ursula Show, thank you so much for hanging out with us on this Fresh Friday. And I hope this next segment does not make you uncomfortable as you listen to it, because it is something that is super important. And just ask actress Halle Berry, who joined Democratic Senator Patty Murray of Washington and Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. And they were all at the nation's capital demanding that all of us acknowledge a very important issue to every woman in this country.
I'm in menopause!
Okay, so there she is yelling it out for everyone to know because she's sick and tired of the stigma surrounding it. And they're all pushing for legislation that would put $275 million toward research and education around menopause. And they say the education is even needed by doctors. The actress shared the story about how her doctor misdiagnosed her with herpes, even though she and her partner had tested negative for it.
I was at the doctor 3 days ago, and I went in to talk to him about an issue. And I said to him, you know why I'm having this issue, right? And he says, yes, I know. I said, tell me, why am I having this issue? He said, you tell me why you're having the issue. I said, no, you tell me why I'm having the issue. And we went back and forth. You tell me, you tell me, you tell me. I finally realized he wasn't going to say it. So I thought, okay, I have to do what no man can do. I have to say it. I said, I'm in menopause! Okay? And that's why I'm having this issue. And he said, oh my God, I could never say that to you. Look at you. You don't look like you're in menopause. I could never say that. And if I said that to all of my female clients, they'd punch me. And again, I knew that is why I'm here doing this work, because it has to be destigmatized. The shame has to be taken out of menopause. We have to talk about this very normal part of our life that happens.
Wow.
So true. I mean, and if your own medical professional in your life feels uncomfortable or thinks, oh, you might be offended if I ask if you're in menopause. Why? Because we all age. At some point, we are going to hit that age where we go into either perimenopause, which can last up to 10 years, and that's the stage prior to when you don't have your period for at least a year when you are officially in menopause. And a whole bunch of things happen to a woman's body and her mind and everything else. Every aspect of her life is affected by this thing that no one wants to talk about.
Okay. Well, I got questions.
Okay.
First, is it stigmatized? Is it something?
Absolutely.
I'm asking you and other ladies that are listening right now. Is it something that's embarrassing to talk about? I don't know this. So is it something that people feel comfortable with not sharing, like, hey, you know, hey, I'm just going through menopause?
Because think of how people react about age and how people look at aging as something to either ridicule or, oh, I'm getting so old. Oh, my gosh, you're old. That's a criticism.
Mm-hmm.
I feel young at the age of 58. I share. Some people don't even want to share their age. You know what? I'm 58 and proud of it. Beats the alternative.
You're younger now than you were 4.5 years ago.
I know. You just want me to give you credit.
Thanks.
I am. But the reality is, when we started this show is when I was starting menopause. And I will tell you right now, so many things happened at the time. I had brain fog for sure. Okay, I know there's an easy pun there, but I had brain fog for sure. My insomnia got even worse. I mean, other women, the last time we talked about menopause, and some people were upset that you and I were joking a little bit.
Yeah.
The laughter was a little bit more about the discomfort of talking about it.
Yeah.
Because it's not something that you'll hear on any radio show.
Well, I'll admit something, right? I'll admit that. Because there were some people that were upset with me, and they says, gee, you just keep talking about putting up a fan, and it's not funny.
Much more than that.
And so I want to go back, and I remember that discussion. I was wrong. I was wrong to approach that topic that way. And I think that the number one reason why I was wrong is I didn't understand this thing where there's like, you know, or do you get HRT? Hormone replacement therapy. I didn't realize that there was so much that's not being talked about this. Like, for example, sometimes some people say, hey, you just go through the menopause, don't do anything because it makes things better. And then some people says, no, you go through HRT, hormone replacement therapy, and this will make it better. And then other people said, no, but that's not good for you because it causes this.
Yeah, that's exactly why they're saying that we need to have this research. So they're talking about $275 million toward the research and education around menopause. Okay, that's a big number, but they're talking about clinical trials. They're talking about public health and medical research. And absolutely, as we are living longer and longer, first of all, and by the way, perimenopause, which precedes menopause, that can last up to 10 or even more years.
Oh, really?
And again, you're talking about things that will affect not just the woman in your life, but everyone surrounding her.
Right. Hmm.
Let me tell you this. I mean, for men, do you realize that menopause and perimenopause can cause extremely painful sex for the woman? That will affect you.
Hmm.
Okay, sorry. I probably had some people drive off the road right now. But I'm just saying, I mean, that's there are effects that you might not realize that maybe she's uncomfortable talking about, but these are things that people need to know. And if you're medical professional, if your healthcare provider doesn't feel comfortable talking about it with you or doesn't give you the time, because doctors today have very little time, we need way more research on that. You know, I automatically said no to HRT because I'd heard, well, it increases my risk for cancer. My brother at the time had just been diagnosed with cancer. I'm like, I'm not going to throw myself in there. So I'm just going to suffer through it.
Isabella just texted in and gave me another angle because I asked you about menopause and if there's something that people are embarrassed about to talk about. And they said, hey, G, are men afraid to talk about low testosterone? Because
exactly.
Yeah, we are. We don't go, and I don't call up chef like, hey, what you doing, man? Oh, nothing. Man,
you
I got this low T right now, bro. You know what I mean? Like, no, I'm not even joking. Like, we're not going to voluntarily talk about that. So I'd imagine the hit on your, how you feel in the getting older with that might be on the same page with discussing on that. But Ursula, thank you for talking about this because obviously we don't talk about it enough.
Yeah, it's not something to be ashamed of. Mm-hmm. It's something that if you're lucky to live long enough, you're going to go through it, but you shouldn't have to suffer through it alone. And again, it affects everyone, not just women.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people on the text line that appreciate you for having this discussion, and that's what makes Ursula special for the G and Ursula Show. Hey, coming up next here on the show, we need to talk about what a husband did with the reward points on the credit card. And I want to know if you'd stand for this. We do that next. G and Ursula. And Ursula's show. Happy Fresh Friday to all of you. Ursula did put the S on it earlier. Hey, coming up at 10 o'clock, we have a guest in studio. Michael Medved is in the air on the plane, so he won't be on the show today, but don't you guys worry. We have Dr. Jason Johnson from MSNBC. He joins us live in studio. He's going to be hanging out with us at 10 o'clock. What?
I'm smiling because Dr. Jason is in studio right now, and we're chuckling because I don't think he's going to be doing a Michael Medved impression, so it'll be a decidedly different feel come 10 o'clock.
But here's the thing, though. Off the air, he and I argue about everything. So no telling.
Okay.
No
oh,
telling.
Boy. Okay.
All right. See, isn't that something? I argue with people that I love.
I know. Just the fact that every time we say Fresh Friday now, you have to do the sss for a long time because you know it bugs the crumb out of me.
I know. Okay. What would you do if your new husband abandoned you in coach while he used your airline points to put himself in first class? Hannah and Jamie were off to Mexico on their honeymoon when Jamie was offered an upgrade thanks to an extensive air travel for her job. She initially declined, asking for the upgrade only for both of them. But when they arrived at the airport, only Jamie's ticket was upgraded. You guys follow me? So she's like, no, if it can't be both of us, then we don't want it. But when they showed up, it was her husband that just freshly married. He got the upgrade on his ticket. And guess what Jamie did? Went for it. Jamie says he's scared of flying, right? So he's never had an opportunity to fly first class in this opportunity. And he felt he deserved to have the seat because of his fear of flying. Now, you guys text in, you're listening, your thoughts on this entire thing that just happened. Is this cool that Jamie didn't decline the first class to sit with his brand new wife and coach, and instead he uses the excuse that he's scared of flying to sit in first class?
Okay, and I want to add a little bit more just to give you a little more flavor about this Jamie guy, the
yeah.
male, yeah. the newlyweds here. Mm-hmm. So somewhere in the middle of the flight, apparently his anxiety got the most of him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he took his half-eaten meal from first class and brought it back to coach and basically was begging to sit with her back in coach.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, I think this is not a good way to start the marriage off. They're on their honeymoon. I would at least want Jamie to offer to say, you know what? I'm with her. This is our honeymoon. This is a flight that's more than a couple of hours.
That slogan didn't work well for Hillary.
I am going to be offering to go back and coach and stay together. Because it ended up that, you know, as gleeful as he was to go ahead and sit in first class using her points, he ended up not enjoying that experience and then ended up wanting to go back and coach.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he showed a little bit of himself. It sounded like, in my opinion, he sounded a little selfish.
What's he supposed to do? Now, everybody, all y'all texting in, y'all talking about divorce. Some of y'all talking about no cuddling during the honeymoon.
Yeah, that,
you guys
that
are
honeymoon
being
is off to
extreme.
A very bad start.
206 has annulment. Ursula, in this situation,
selfish.
Jamie has a first class ticket. It was his ticket that's on the first class.
Yes, but it was using
let him
her
live.
Points. No.
Let him live. He gets there. Now, Jamie, when you get to the honeymoon, you do something extra special, right? Do something extra special for Hannah. This is something I totally agree with Jamie continuing with the first class.
Yeah, and that might explain.
That's cold.
That's cold.
Honk, honk.
That's cold.
I know. The whole point is you're showing how selfish you are. You're showing that you know that she wants to sit together. It's your honeymoon. It's also, just by principle, her miles that allowed for them. Mm-hmm. It should have been them, but since there was only one, I would have insisted, no, she's either going to sit up in first class.
So we just let it go away.
If she can't sit in first class, I'll sit back in
class. Ursula, so we let it go away? So basically,
yes, thank you.
It's not worth
I'm going to sit here
and coach.
Yeah, it's not worth sitting up in first class, which coach is perfectly fine for most people, G, but... But, yeah, if both of us can't sit up in first class, I'm going to go back. On your honeymoon? You know, maybe 20 years later when you guys, you know, have kind of figured things out.
You know what it reminds me?
But on your honeymoon...
I know this might be... I should probably leave this segment, but no, it's Fresh Fridays.
Yeah, Cliff in Woodinville says, wow, chivalry is dead. That couple is doomed if he's always this self-centered. Exactly, Cliff.
Ursula, it's like this. If you and I were to go to like some Snoqualmie Falls, right?
Uh-huh.
And let's just say you accidentally fell in the water, right? Let's just say that you did. If you fell in the water,
yeah.
Ursula, I'm not going to just jump in to try to save you.
Okay.
Number one, I can't really swim that great. Number two, I'm like, hey, Ursula, I'm about to call somebody for you. Because there's no use in both of us.
So you are comparing someone drowning to someone either sitting in first class or coach?
Well, you can swim, so you're not technically drowning.
When it comes to cold water, cold rushing water,
mm-hmm.
the ability to swim doesn't always help.
Right, so it's no use in me jumping in and both of us being gone.
But I would hope that you would go for help.
I would call for help.
Yeah.
So in the case of the airline...
I don't think it's a good... You know, your analogies are usually spot on.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one didn't work.
Okay.
It's a Fresh Friday, though.
Chef, what's that look for, bro?
I'm just waiting for you to whiff on strike three. You're 0 for 2.
Hey, in all fairness, I did say I should probably leave this segment. I did. Hey, coming up next on the show, happy Fresh Fridays to everybody. We're going to have Dr. Jason Johnson. He's in studio. We got all kinds of topics to talk about. The biggest topic that we're seriously going to ask him about is we're going to ask him to weigh in on his opinion on these protests on college campuses. We'll do that next. Gene Ursula.